I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Vanity of vanities, vanity of vanities, all is meaningless. I, the teacher, when king over Israel and Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given human beings to be busy with. Am I feeding back? Well, that does not serve my purposes at all. All right, you're lucky, because I was going to go all the way around with this. All right, let's get back to the hopelessness of Ecclesiastes. All right, what an unhappy business that God has given human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after the wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me. Because who knows whether they will be wise or foolish? Yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is meaningless. So I turned and I gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all of it to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is meaningless and a great evil. What do mortals get for all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This also is meaningless. What is this? Whose idea was this to read in church? Like, can't we sing some Christmas carols? I'm not coming to church to feel bad about stuff. Aren't you supposed to make with the good feelings, church? And yet, here is this. Now, you may be surprised to learn that we only read this once every 3 years. And only part of it. Ecclesiastes is something else, isn't it? It is throwing down some kind of truth that makes you feel really unmoored, doesn't it? Like, and if you kind of find yourself listening to me recite this, wondering, I don't have any kind of ground to stand on here, good. That's kind of the point, because we are in the presence with Ecclesiastes of a master teacher. We're in the presence of a teacher who is trying to disrupt us. And there's a reason for that. So to understand what the teacher is doing, first we got to talk about this word that shows up all throughout our section of the text and really through the whole book, the word vanity or meaningless. I started to use them interchangeably because, I mean, let's be honest, St. Paul's, you know all about vanity, right? So, look at how I'm dressed. Come on, that's for me too. Vanity, meaninglessness, it's the Jewish word hevel. Okay, let me hear you say hevel. And it means vanity, and it means meaningless, but it also means vapor. It is something that starts and then ends. It is there for a moment, and then it goes away. You see it, but it's fleeting. You want some? They told me at the first service I should start hitting people with it if the AC wasn't working like the last 2 weeks. It is the realm of the created. This is what Havel is, okay? So, your job, Havel. Your relationships, Havel. Your career, Havel. Your clothes, Havel. Your 401k, Havel, right? Your food, the corner office, the career, it's all Havel. It starts, but it stops. It doesn't last. You know what else is Havel? Wisdom and foolishness. Havel, a chasing after the wind. It starts and it stops. It begins, it ends. It is vapor. It is Havel. It is the realm of the created. It's everything we try to do. It's everything we put our energies into. It's all the stuff we try to build. It's every relationship we've ever had. It's all going to end because it is vapor. Now, what you find around the words of this teacher, around the edges of it, is this word God. And this is important because what the teacher is trying to do is trying to wake you up to something. And the teacher is trying to wake you up to the fact that there is another realm. There is another thing out there. There is not just the realm of the vapor. There is a realm of the uncreated as well. And this is where God comes in. But first, the teacher is trying to tell you, look, just so you don't think I'm a crazy person, I'm cast here as Solomon, as the one that has all the wisdom and amassed the most wealth in all of Israel. This teacher is trying to establish authority in the realm of the created. The teacher starts this whole thing by saying, look, I did it all. I got it all. I built it all. I financed it all. I worked for it. I had him. I had her. I had the car. I had the perfect family. I had it all. I am fully established as the master of what is created. And I'm here to tell you about the day after you got everything you ever wanted. Every little desire that you have in your heart, every secret thing that you hope, my life will be complete and full if I have that. I had it, built it, owned it. And I'm here to tell you about the day after that. You ever get everything you ever wanted? And then you wake up the next day and go, now what? Because there is a wisdom that is beyond wisdom. We don't talk about this a lot, especially not in America. But there is something that is beyond wisdom. And you might be thinking, well, yeah, wisdom, like this is wisdom literature. Like we get this. This is what wisdom literature does. It presents to us like the path of the wise and the path of the foolish. So, you know, we see that there is the wise are careful with their words. The foolish shoot their mouth off. You know, the wise are temperate with how they conduct themselves. The foolish are impertinent. The wise can receive correction and rebuke. The foolish can't learn from their mistakes. You see this, and what you're supposed to do with wisdom literature is you have these two paths presented, and then, of course, you're invited to take the path of wisdom. You should follow the wise, which is usually a good idea. That's not what Ecclesiastes is doing. Ecclesiastes is saying there's something else out there. Because Ecclesiastes knows that there are some of you who played by the rules, who checked all the boxes, who spouted the party line, who had all the vapor in all the right order, and things still went upside down on you. Ecclesiastes knows that sometimes, even when you've got everything, and everything, you've done it all right, it can still give you the shaft. How many people got the shaft even though they did everything right? Anybody been there? Yeah. Yeah, we know. You guys are like, I don't want to admit it, but yes. Ecclesiastes is for you. Ecclesiastes is speaking to that. Ecclesiastes is saying there is a wisdom beyond wisdom. It is saying that the world is not a simple duality where it's just about doing the right stuff or doing the wrong stuff. And if you do the right stuff, everything's going to go the way you want. We know that's not how it is, but we pretend and we live like it is. Ecclesiastes is trying to wake you up to the fact that that's not how it always works. There is something more true, more deep, more real out there, and it is the realm of the uncreated. It is where God is. Because with God, there is no birth, there is no death. With God, there is no... God just is. And there are things in the realm of the uncreated, joy, peace, calm, hope. They don't come into being and then go away. They just are. And there's an invitation from the teacher in Ecclesiastes to say, do you want to know about how to get to that? That's, if I don't wake you up to it, you won't listen. Because, let's be honest, if you just listen to people and to teachers that already tell you what you know and what you already believe, then do you ever learn anything new? No. Do you ever come to new truth? The times that you grow, the times that things develop in you, is when someone rattles your cage and you've got to like grasp for something to figure out what's what. That is what Ecclesiastes is doing. Everything we think is the most important, everything we put our energies into, it's all going down. It's a pick-me-up kind of book. Okay, are you with me on vapor? So here's the thing. I believe that most of us spend our lives, I think I'm making a mess. I think I'm doing okay. I'm trying to keep it spread out. I had like puddles on the floor after the first service. Most of us spend our lives giving all of our energy to vapor management. It's all about working to get the right stuff in the right order, to get the right life so that we're happy, so that we have peace, so that we have joy. If I hit you with this, you just tell me. That's what we do. So we're like, if I can get that girl, if I can get that job, if I can get that much money, if I can get that career path, if I can go to that university, if I can have that kind of car, we deal with our lives in managing vapor. And we feel like if we can get the vapor in the right order, then we're gonna have joy and peace and hope. But of course, what's the problem with that? The teacher is telling us you can't use the created to find the uncreated. It doesn't work like that. Because here's the open secret of the gospel. Here's the trick to the whole thing. Everything that you are looking for most, that realm of the uncreated, the joy, the peace, the hope, serenity, the kind of a sense of grounding that no matter what happens, you're okay, you already have it. It's already within you. You already are there. You don't have to do anything to get to it. It's here now with you, in you. The rabbis tell it like this. There's a story that they tell about Rabbi Isaac from Krakow. And the story goes like this. Rabbi Isaac lives in Krakow, and over a couple of nights has some dreams about another city. And in the dreams, he sees a treasure underneath a bridge in that city. And he finally is so worked up by these dreams that he decides, I've got to go see what's going on, and I got to see if this treasure is for real. And so he goes to this city. Now, the city is under military occupation, and the bridge is being guarded. And so he can't just walk up with a shovel and try to dig this treasure out. And so he hides in the bushes, and he kind of observes the bridge and waits to see when the soldiers pass so he can sneak over and see if the treasure is there. While he's waiting, one of the guards notices him and comes around behind him and taps him on the shoulder, you know? And he's startled, and he looks behind him, and the guard's like, what are you doing here? Like, why are you watching this bridge? And because he's sort of startled and alarmed, he just blurts out the truth. I had a dream that there's a treasure under that bridge, and I'm here to dig it up. And the guard looks at him, and he's like, and he starts laughing, and he says, you believe in dreams like that? Let me tell you something. If I believed in dreams like that, then I would need to go to some town called Krakow to find a man named Isaac to tell him that there's a treasure buried under his bed. To which Rabbi Isaac thanked the man and then returned home to find the treasure that had been under his bed the whole time. What you're looking for, you've already got. You don't have to go anywhere. It's so hard, and like, I see some of my colleagues in the room. Welcome, colleagues. Like people that do what I do, it's like I'm constantly trying to find ways to help people sort of access this. Like there is a kind of being that is pure, unadulterated, unfiltered awareness that life is a gift to be enjoyed and appreciated. It is here for you now. No matter what you're in the middle of, no matter what's going on, it is here. It does not have anything to do with the vapor. It is all about God and a God that is saying, it is already within you. You don't have to go anywhere to get it. Is there anyone for whom that would be good news? The man, today's your day. And the teacher wants to wake you up to that reality. Wake up to the fact that it's here, that it's now. The stuff that gets in our way is the vapor. This is Jesus' teaching in the gospel today. What's the gospel? What's this parable that he tells? It is a parable form of this teaching from Ecclesiastes, isn't it? You've got two brothers that come to him, and they want to figure out the vapor, right? Just tell us what to do so we can quit this relationship. And I wish I had time to do Bible study, because it's really a cool overlap. And Jesus tells them a story, and what does he tell them a story about? He's like, let me tell you a story about the guy that had it all. He made his first million, and he's like, well, I got to make a second million. And then I got so much money, I don't know what to do with it all. I got so much stuff. My crops have yielded so much, so I guess I got to build bigger barns. He has everything he could want to live comfortably the rest of his life, and then he dies. Let those that have ears, let them hear. And he says, there is a richness, there is a treasure that has nothing to do with this. You two, brothers, look for that. That's what Ecclesiastes is talking about. And Jesus is trying to disrupt these two, and he's trying to disrupt us in the gospel. Wake up. What matters most, you already have. Some of you know this. And when you talk to people that have like come through a terminal illness or lost someone recently, or they've found themselves in a spot where their relationships fell apart, and all of a sudden they wake up to everything that really mattered and that they had the whole time. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, we see this, and occasionally we have these glimpses of it, and the invitation of the kingdom of God is to live there all the time, because when you tap into that, when you are hanging in that reality of life is a precious gift to be enjoyed and appreciated, then you know what to do with all of this. What all this is starts to make sense. You know what matters, what doesn't, what needs to be given away and what doesn't, what to pursue and what not. And you know what else? You know how to enjoy it. You know how to appreciate it. You don't resent it because you're not trying to use it to give you something it can't deliver. Are you living your life like it is a precious gift that you have already received? Or are you living your life like you're looking for something? Are you in a place where you're searching and you're trying to use the vapor to bring what it cannot deliver? Or are you living in a way that life, and you know that life is a gift to be enjoyed and appreciated, and you're in it, and you're owning it? The teacher today is offering you a starting point. But as Richard Rohr says, and I wrote this down to read it to you, he says, the starting point is that you're already there. We cannot attain the presence of God because we're already in it. What is absent is our awareness. Do you want to wake up? Then the prayer is, God, help me wake up. Help me wake up. The phrase, if I could just blank, then I'd be blank, is a lie. It is a lie of the vapor. It's also a lie of religion. Sometimes we get that in people come into religion because they're like, can you just sort of help me know how to follow the rules, right? Have the right doctrines. I want a better marriage. I want to deal with my heartache, right? It's about vapor arrangement. That's not what Jesus promises. Jesus is like, I got something way better than that. I got something way better. If I could just, then I'd be. It's a lie. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to live that way. You get to let that go. You get to be free of that. You get to be done. Free. So let us be a people that lean into this reality, that wake up, that are embracing of the disturbance of Ecclesiastes, and may we wake up to the truth that the treasure we are looking for most is already within us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.